Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Yeah, I remember going in the bus and talking to Roger there in 2012 with my dad, and I was 19, you know, and looking for an opportunity, and was really, and I don't know if many people know this, I visited a lot of different teams back in 2012. You know, I went to Junior and Gibbs and stuff like that, trying to find somewhere to have a shot at a job. And yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't really expect to be treated any different, right? I mean, I'm still the same person, and, you know, we just accomplished something, but. I don't know. I mean, I think that's how everyone else wants to approach it, right? Okay, you know, I can't change how everyone else feels, but I think internally for you, you hold your head high, and you know, you have a lot of confidence going into Daytona and all our group, right? I mean, my guys deserve to hold their heads high too, going into LA and Daytona, knowing what they've done the previous years. So, but then you got to do it again. I mean, it's a new year. Once it turns 2024, 23 is forgotten about. So you can't really focus too much on, hey, what we did last year, because living in the past is no good. So you got to turn your focus on 24.
Welcome to the NASCAR NBC podcast. I'm your host, Nate Ryan, and welcome to the start of the NASCAR Cup Series in 2024. The championship run officially kicks off February 18th with the 66th Daytona 500. But the cars and stars of the Cup Series will be back on track this weekend in the Busch Light Clash at the Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum. The main event is Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern, with broadcast coverage starting at 6 p.m. Eastern on Fox, and that includes the last chance qualifying race. This will be the third consecutive year that the 100-year-old Coliseum has played host to the Clash, the exhibition race that once was held at Daytona International Speedway. In a throwback to the Coliseum's history as a two-time Olympic host, the top three finishers in the Clash will receive gold, silver, and bronze medals. Last year's podium was Martin Truex Jr., Austin Dillon, and Kyle Busch, who will be one of the drivers we hear from in today's episode. We thought it a good time to revisit with five of NASCAR's big personalities about their reflections on the 2023 season and their thoughts for 2024. The NASCAR industry gathered in Nashville for its annual award ceremony just after Thanksgiving. And everything you hear in this episode came from the interviews and speeches that were given in the Music City Center just off Broadway. So as the engines are about to fire in Los Angeles, let's hear from what some of the Clash contenders were saying the last time we heard from them. And we'll start with 2023 Cup Series champion, Ryan Blaney.
Winning is in his family's DNA, and Ryan has just crested the mountain of all wins. Ryan Blaney is a NASCAR Cup Series champion.
Oh, man. Thank you, guys, man. Oh, I'm getting emotional. Thank you, guys, man. An awesome year, man. Thank you so much. Cannot wait to celebrate with you guys. RP, congrats. Thanks for giving me a shot.
In Nashville, the number 12 Team Penske driver finally was absorbing his late season charge to the title.
You know, the week immediately after was pretty fast paced. The week of Thanksgiving was kind of nice, being home and not doing much. I think it kind of sank in, and then you're with your family for Thanksgiving, so that's kind of nice to relive it. And then you come here, you know, and then it's brought back up again. You're like, oh, okay, you get to see all your guys in one setting. The parade yesterday was fun. All my guys had a blast on Broadway, and it just gets, you get re-reminded of it, you know. And so it's been fun. I've been trying to take it all in, trying to slow everything down. That's why I keep telling people, I'm like, ever since, even at Phoenix, I was like, we got to slow this stuff down, you know, just try to enjoy it and remember it and embrace it. So we'll try to keep doing that. But it's been a blast, and looking forward to, you know, the rest of the off season and what's to come. Internally, personally, I think it gives you more confidence, right? And hey, you're a champion and you succeeded and you did well in your job and your sport. And but like outside of that, like it doesn't change, right? Like you're still who you are and you're still a person. But I think internally, it gives you a good feeling of solidifying. You're like, all right, we did the ultimate accomplishment goal. Makes you feel good. But other than that, like your life really doesn't change that much. At least mine does. I try not to change anything too much. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't really expect to be treated any different, right? I mean, I'm still the same person, and, you know, we just accomplished something. But, I don't know. I mean, I think that's how everyone else wants to approach it, right? Okay, you know, I can't change how everyone else feels. But I think internally for you, you hold your head high, and, you know, you have a lot of confidence going into Daytona and all our group, right? I mean, my guys deserve to hold their heads high, too, going into L.A. and Daytona, knowing what they've done the previous years. So. But then you got to do it again. I mean, it's a new year. Once it turns 2024, it's 23 is forgotten about. So you can't really focus too much on, hey, what we did last year, because living in the past is no good. So you got to turn your focus on 24.
Still, the night in Nashville was for remembering what had come before and also lamenting what couldn't be, notably in the absence of his late grandfather and legendary racer, Lou Blaney.
I really wish my grandpa could be here to see this and, share it with my dad, so thank you.
Dustin Long, NBC Sports. The line about your grandfather, did you think that was going to be the hardest line?
Yeah, I did know when I wrote that one down, I was like, that's going to be the one that's going to get me. And I know it's going to get my dad, too. And I think everybody, just so. Yeah, either that one, you know, obviously talking about my grandpa, wishing he could be here to celebrate with my dad about it. Talking about the Wood Brothers almost a little bit, you know, and Glenn. But yeah, the one, you know, about my grandfather and Lou, I knew that one was probably going to get me, and it did a little bit.
I want to close out with, sorry, I've been going a long time, but, so my dad told me a neat story about when we started the playoffs. You know, my dad, for you guys who know my dad, he's a very reserved guy. He doesn't talk very much. And, you know, he was kind of I started saying I wanted to be like my dad growing up. And, as a kid, I think you just want to make your parents proud. And so when he started kind of being my motivational speaker, like through the playoffs, like he was telling me the story about the path. He sees the path to the championship. And, you know, he was visualizing this path that we could go on this run and make this championship run. And the first few races, I was like, you know, it's dad saying dad stuff, you know. But as we kind of went on, I started believing it more and more. And, you know, we won Talladega, and he's like, the path's getting bigger. We won Martinsville. He said, the path lit up. And I guess we got through the gate at Phoenix. So just unbelievable. You know, dad's motivation, his talk, his help is super cool. He visualized it and took me a while to believe it. But, you know, fortunately, we all did, and it's here now. So sorry for the long speech. I kind of lost track of time. But thank you guys for being here. Enjoy your Christmas. Looks forward to seeing you guys in L.A. And
though he apologized for its length, the Blaney speech felt mostly compact and direct, but also was an easygoing 10 minutes, in which Blaney used the teleprompter as a guide with bullet points, rather than as a verbatim script. He sounded natural as he ticked through a few dozen people to thank, with everyone from Roger Penske to the Wood Brothers to Tommy Baldwin, as well as his family, fiance, and team members.
Yeah, you know, there's so many people that are involved in it, and that's like kind of what rolls through your head. It's like you can't, I wish I could mention everyone tonight, but you can't. Like, I'd be talking for 20 minutes tonight if that was the case. But there's so many people that are involved, and I think that's where, like, my emotion came from immediately after the race was, you think about all those people that gave you a shot as a kid, right? 20 years of people, meeting people, giving you chances, working with them. A lot of great men and women that I've, you know, been able to work with through the years and met and gave me chances. And like, all those people roll through your mind. And it's great. I mean, it's hard to believe. And, yeah, a lot of people deserve a ton of credit for all the chances over the last 20 years. And that definitely makes it special. You rethink about all those people. And it's nice to talk to those people, like, after Phoenix. Like, you kind of reach out. Someone you haven't talked to in a long time. Bill and Gail Davis reached out, which was great. You know, they did a lot for my dad. And, yeah, Trent, it was fun. We worked with him on the K&N side a little bit. And, yeah, it was a lot of neat people that have reached out and been really special for me personally.
That put Blaney in a reflective mood about his career and recalling some untold elements of his first meeting with Roger Penske in the Team Penske Command Center at Richmond Raceway in 2012.
Yeah, I remember going in the bus and talking to Roger there in 2012 with my dad, and I was 19, and looking for an opportunity, and I don't know many people know this. I visited a lot of different teams back in 2012. I went to Junior and Gibbs and stuff like that, trying to find somewhere to have a shot at a job. And, got lucky at the time from the Penske side, from Brad's side. And Brad was a huge part of it as well, getting me in there. And, yeah, I don't know. I think Roger had a lot of respect for my dad. And I think he liked what he saw in the short little brief period. And I think Brad put a lot of good words in his ear too, and just a lot of people, fortunately speaking fairly good about me. Not that I deserved it, especially back then, just getting going, and gave me opportunities. So yeah, however they convinced him to give me a shot is pretty spectacular. And not only giving me a shot in 2012, but like sticking with me for 10 years is just says a lot about his character and his trust in people. And there's a reason why there's a ton of people at Penske who have been there for over 10 years, over 20 years. Like, he puts his faith in people and just lets them grow. And that's just kind of amazing person he is.
Naturally, Blaney also faced questions about the ambassadorial and leadership responsibilities of being the Cup champion. While his soft-spoken, laid-back style might not lend itself to being a force of will yet, his presence already has been felt within NASCAR in other ways. Few drivers are as willing as Blaney to take on whatever promotional and publicity opportunities are offered to spread the racing gospel by revealing a driver's off-track lifestyle. And with the new Netflix docuseries Full Speed showcasing his growing brand, Blaney hinted there will be more to come.
You have to be impactful in the garage, whether it's, being a big voice in the driver's council with NASCAR on this stuff. I think you have a right to be very vocal in it. I'm not a very vocal person in those meetings anyway. I probably should start being that way. But I think the away track stuff, I think you have a big obligation as well. And, they just announced that TV deal going forward in the future. And I think those are huge opportunities to push their drivers and champions and stuff like that. So I've been harping, what we got? What are we doing? Let's get ripping here on opportunities we can do to grow the sport. And I think what they announced yesterday is a huge opportunity as well to kind of feed into that year in 25 here. And I think it's going to be some good opportunities, and I'm pushing to do everything that we can.
A key catalyst to NASCAR growth is having lightning rod personalities. And Kyle Busch traditionally has been among the best for drawing boos and cheers. But with his move to Richard Childress Racing and 3 wins in 2023, Busch surprisingly discovered he was growing into a fan's choice in the latter stages of his career.
Here he is, the race winner of the Power Casino 400.
And Rowdy Nation loves it.
Yeah. We didn't hear the boos we're used to hearing.
That's right.
That was a different tone.
It's a good point.
He'll turn 39 in May, and Busch seems poised as a new sentimental favorite, with Kevin Harvick's retirement closing the door on Generation X in Cup.
Yeah. Are you signing me up for most popular driver this year?
I'm wondering, do you think you got a chance?
I have been told by NASCAR that I've finished second the last 3 or 4 years, and the gap's getting closer. So I don't know if I believe that, but I'll take it. When you're young, you come in and you start beating up on the guys that have been here for a while. People don't really take well to that, So you're not very well liked, and especially doing it the brash way that I did early on. It certainly got some more eyeballs on my name. But, as I've gotten a little bit older, as I've matured a little bit, as I've not won as often, people are starting to like, hey, man, that guy used to win all the time, but I want him, I'm going to pull for him. I want him to win. Let's see him win some more, So it turns the table for sure. I think that's pretty awesome. I remember how many times did Jeff Gordon get booed after a win, right? Like in the late 90s, especially. And then his last win that he had at Martinsville, the crowd went nuts. So that was just times change and the tables turn. Well, so I remember having the boos and the boos be pretty loud during driver intros walking across the stage. Well, it was on me, so I didn't have to look up at the screen to see who it was, right? But now when you're already done with driver intros, or you're backstage behind driver intros and you hear it and you're like, wait, who was that? And then now I feel like what everybody else was doing when I was walking across stage. So
though no longer a team owner, it still was a busy offseason for Busch, who moved his mementos out of Kyle Busch Motorsports, the truck team that he had owned for 14 years. KBM now will be the home of Spire Motorsports, whose co-owner Jeff Dickerson helped start Busch's truck team. Busch said the time was right to sell, with his focus on son Brexton's racing career.
Obviously, moving everything out of KBM, yeah, that's been our off-season project so far, which has been stressful to say the least. But we're taking 77,000 square feet of stuff and stuffing it in 8,000 square feet, you know. So Brexton's got a 4,000-foot shop, and then I've got a 2,000-foot with car lifts and stuff for all of my cool cars and stuff that I got. And then all the trophies are just on pallet racking with shelves around the wall, you know. So easiest, cheapest way to be able to do it, but yet still kind of show it off. And you know, everybody always asks me, they're like, man, have you ever gone and looked at your trophies and kind of just sat there and thought about what's happened over the years? And I honestly, my answer was no. Like, I never really walked down through the museum at KBM to look at that, but they're all still there one last time. We have our foundation event next weekend, and then after that, we're going to finish clearing it all out and move it all to the new place. So it's a hell of a project to move 300-something trophies, you know? So, but we got a great team, and me, Samantha, her mom, her dad, and one other guy who just kind of helps out. That's it. You know, they wanted to hire movers, and I said, no, we got five ourselves. We got it. Dude, the ink hasn't even dried, and the money didn't even clear in the bank, and the sign out front was changed. So I was like, damn, guys. Like, I'm trying to have meetings in the conference room, and I still own the place, and they're in there every day, and they're running out of there. I'm like, get the hell out of here. You still got four more days. I'm wondering how long my key card will still work for. So, you know, actually, I do know the secret doors that don't need key cards to get in. So, but I know every crack and crevice and story and secret, everything of that place, you know. So, obviously, it's going to be a little bit of memory lane for a little while, but then I'm sure that'll wear off. I think that we were a successful organization. I mean, it was a great run. We made it 12, 15 years, whatever the heck it was. We won 7 owners championships, 2 driver championships. You know, was it for sale? No, it wasn't for sale. But when somebody knocks on your door and offers you a good check that's reasonable, then you got to take a serious look at it and consider it. And so that's kind of what happened. You know, it's kind of ironic, too, I think, that the same guy that got me in to the Truck Series ownership side, which was probably a bad idea, got me out, you know. So more power to them. I mean, they've got a lot of strong ambitions and things like that, so it's going to be cool to see what Spire turns into down the road with their Cup and Truck Series operation. Still, me being a part of it is going to be neat for me to still kind of get my fix, if you will, without having to be there 24/7 all the time and worrying about all the stress and obligations and worries that comes along with the ownership side.
On the other hand, Denny Hamlin remains immersed in ownership with Michael Jordan at 2311 Racing. That team is entering a pivotal year with a new state-of-the-art shop just off I-77. But Hamlin also is laser-focused on trying to win his elusive first championship with Joe Gibbs Racing's number 11. Affected by a bum shoulder that required off-season surgery, the bulk of Hamlin's 2023 success and 2 wins came in the first half of the season. Hamlin noted that the past 2 late-season surges by Ryan Blaney and Joey Logano show that the approach to winning a championship is changing.
Just the 50th was the big one for me. But other than that, no, it's just they were all mid part of the year, earlier in the year, that honestly it really didn't matter when it came down to it, right? We saw certainly the formula to win a championship has changed. You just have to win Phoenix. You have to be good for 5 or 6 races in the season. I mean, I don't think anyone could dispute that, you know, it's just about running really well at the end of the season now. I mean, we can talk about playoff points all we want, and you know, but none of it matters. The last 2 champions have showed us that you just have to get hot at the very end of the year, and you can win. Your season-long championship can be decided at the very end. So I think the formula has changed, and, you know, the focus has to change to adapt to that style. You know, certainly I believe that, you know, championships are won different now than what they used to. It's not about dominating for a whole season. It's about dominating for a very short portion of the season and it coming at the very end. Excited for, you know, the new team headquarters for 2311 that I spent years and years designing and developing and doing all the things to see that finally come to fruition and you know, to see the excitement on the employees' face when they walk in the door for the first time. That's going to be exciting for me. So it's no different than building a house, right? Your dream house. It's you're there every single day kind of checking on all the details, and even though it's not a place I work day to day, it is a place that I work very often, and it's going to be exciting for them to reap, you know, the benefits of, you know, what we built them.
Hamlin also discussed the impact of the shoulder injury, which he sustained while playing an unspecified sport.
The major damage was, you know, I tore two tendons in Vegas week. The minor damage is what lingered that caused that thing to get inflamed was the bone spur that was just the genetics problem that caused me to be injured in the first place. And then when I popped the tendons, then next thing you know, I'm grinding on a rotator cuff for the rest of the year, and that was just not good. I was playing sports. Yeah. It was painful. I mean, there was many times where I he asked me to flip on a switch. I can't reach it. I can't touch it. So it was, we were certainly up against the odds. And, you know, one thing is I didn't want to use it as any kind of excuse for, mm-hmm. you know, not making the Final Four or anything like that. And I think that really our performance was as good as it possibly could have been on track. You know, I did everything I could to succeed. We just didn't get it done for whatever reason. Certainly didn't want that to be any excuse of why we didn't perform well. Yeah, every time that I had it, you know, numb throughout the season, our performance is really, really good. So it's just one of those things where I've always grown up being a right-hand driver, and really I had to switch throughout the playoffs to being just a left-hand hold the wheel with the left driver. So it was certainly different.
Over 100,000 people here at Bristol Motor Speedway tonight, and Denny Hamlin gets out to very mixed reviews. Are these fans motivation for you? There's a lot of boos out there.
Hey, I beat your favorite driver.
And who would that be?
All of them.
And as the host of the Actions Detrimental podcast, Hamlin weighed whether he has fully taken the leadership mantle among drivers with Harvick's departure.
I mean, that's a hard one to navigate. I don't know that the drivers necessarily want me to be their voice. I think they want to have their own voice, which is what they need to do. I just think that, you know, I'm certainly just more vocal on hot button topics, right? And so it looks like you guys ask all the same drivers the same questions. I think I probably just give you the sound bites that seem to make the headlines. And so it looks like I'm more outspoken, but really I just get asked the same question everyone does. But I feel like I have enough intel on the sport after being in it for 20 years to see it from all sides and understand that it's not just one-sided. It's when we sit here and we gripe and say we want more horsepower, it's more to it than that, right? I understand, well, how does that affect the owners? How does that affect the OEMs? How does that affect NASCAR? Can I just openly say I want more horsepower and that's going to fix everything? There's always a cause and effect to everything, and I try to be strategic as I can with my answers when it involves the drivers. I'm not always going to be right, for sure. That is for absolute sure, but I certainly feel as though I do the best I can to give the most honest answers, and those sometimes aren't the most popular.
Ross Chastain ended the season in a popular way for his growing fan base, winning the season finale in Phoenix.
You've already gone through half a watermelon, a couple of Busch Lights right here in Victory Lane. Tell us what this day means to you, because no one does this. No one beats the championship four.
Has it never happened, Dave?
I don't believe it's ever happened.
I don't believe it's ever happened. We did something else that's never been done before.
Chastain said ending 2023 with a second victory after a perplexing midseason slump was a major mood lifter for the team.
Yeah, it's amazing. It made that flight back from Phoenix way, way better. It was the first time I've, you know, winning the last race for me of anything, really. Even growing up, didn't have, I guess one time I had like won the last race as a kid and then won the championship. But to win and then be done racing is amazing. I mean, it everything that it could help, it helps. Right now, it's just been take a breath. That's my message to the team is just, okay, we did that. Let's, right after Phoenix was, okay, let's clean everything up. Let's put it away and take a break. We need that. And I believe that, that in life and in all this that we do, that you can't just always be training, and you can't always be building race cars, right? And we don't need to build race cars in December, so let's take an audit of where we're at. Let's fix some things that we want fixed for it to have better in May and June. And that Justin was similar in that. So, yeah, enjoyed the moment and let's, so we haven't, I mean, they're working on stuff, but we, you know, it's time for everybody to take a break, take a trip, go somewhere with their family, and, we'll come back soon and be ready to rip in January.
And the Trackhouse racing driver also explained how it feels being a polarizing rising star in the Cup Series, as well as the work he's putting in to maintain that trajectory.
The first time a grown man looks at you and boos and gives you the double bird and says you suck is pretty tough. And I remember the first time. It's more like when I've spun their favorite driver out. So I get it. But the first time was tough. And now I see it, and I chuckle. Because there's way too many to get upset about. So, it's not, you know, I feel like they're reacting to my actions, so I'm good with it. Like I have control, and they react to, you know, if I bump their driver, I spin them out, or you know, whatever. That's what made Phoenix so great, and what made the wins so great is that we just drove by guys and we beat them. And I didn't make the mistakes that I've made at other tracks. So yeah, it's, I never thought I would be a villain either. I mean, I don't like people to not like me. So, I've just had to learn through it and grow with it. I mean, when we look back in 10 years, it'll just be, we won twice and I'll have to clarify that we won Phoenix, but we didn't win a championship, right? It was, we'll see how the rest of the next years go with winners, being the champion or not, but, incredible. Yeah, definitely ups and downs, right? Definitely times that I wish I could take back, moments, crashes that I will work to be better at. But overall, keeping our group together, my one group stayed exactly the same from 22, and it was primarily really only a few small changes from 21 when I was in the 42 car, and we transitioned to Trackhouse. We've kept mostly the group together, and that's so rewarding whenever we went from 18th place in points maybe in 2021 and in average running position back around there to winning two races each year. Very rewarding to do it with my group. Just keep building, keep going, don't let up. I mean, this sport is so humbling. It will put you right back down below where you ever thought you could go quickly if you let it. And it's going to, there's going to be days where I feel like I get punched in the face, right in the nose, and going to sleep, wake up the next day, get right back at it is important to me, and something I really take a lot of pride in, that we just keep showing up, we keep grinding through it. So yeah, everybody in this, you know, every driver could have a better year. Nobody's ever won every race, so till that happens, we'll all have something to work on.
And the watermelon farm, that's his recharge station.
Going to the farm. Yeah, because I don't have to work there, it's great. It's what I enjoy, and just enjoy everything about, right, my family and getting in their way a little bit. But yeah, anytime I can slip off, or even during the season, stopping in at a farm, like it just makes me feel at home. And for a life on the road and all this crazy race car travel, it's really rewarding to just see farmers doing their thing and trying to tell their story a little bit. Like, it's fun for me. So yeah, honestly, like going to riding around a farm with an old farmer is cool.
Chase Elliott had too much time to get away in 2023, missing six races with a broken leg and suspended for another after intentionally wrecking Denny Hamlin at Charlotte. But a disorienting season ended in a familiar way. Elliott was voted most popular driver for the sixth consecutive year. The Hendrick Motorsports driver reflected on that award and also going winless for the first time in 6 years while missing the playoffs for the first time ever.
Jordan Bianchi, The Athletic, a couple weeks removed from the season now, has it given you a different perspective or kind of, you know, clarity on what's transpired throughout this whole year? Because it's been a lot.
Yeah, definitely been a lot. you know, like I said on stage, you know, definitely a season from a competition aspect that I would love to forget, for sure. But, you know, that's life, as I said up there too, is part of it. And you're going to go through things, and you're going to go through periods that, you know, you don't love, and things are going to happen. You know, I missed a bunch of races and had two surgeries, and, you know, a calendar year was not how I anticipated starting my 2023. But, you know, that, again, that's life. And I think you learn through those situations, and, you know, sometimes you have to kind of step back and, you know, realize that, you know, there are more things to it than going in circles, and you got to put your health first sometimes and try to make the right decisions on long-term health. And, but yeah, hopefully next year, you know, we can just get the ball rolling and get off to a good start and just try to, you know, get a good foundation building from the get-go, which I felt like we were doing at the beginning of this year. Had a solid couple weeks there before I got hurt. So, would like to get that going and you know, progress it from there and try to get back where we think we can be.
Tough period of time, or, you know, time where you're not as competitive as you would like to be. I don't think you can just, like, forget all of that, because somewhere in those struggles were lessons that you might need one day to be better and to better yourself in different situations. So no, I don't think it's just turn the page and forgetting about it. I think it's really thinking through, you know, the areas that we were solid in, the areas that we were, you know, okay and decent in, and areas that we weren't good in, and making sure that we, you know, cover all our bases as we're talking about all that stuff. So yeah, we're always talking about it, and, you know, we have all year, and I really feel like we're talking about the right things, and we're looking at the right thing. It's just a matter of going and doing it, you know, and it's hard. That's just what it is. It's a competitive world that we live in. So, you know, the good news is I feel good about the conversations that we're having, and I feel good about the areas that we're putting a lot of focus in, and, we'll go to work, and hopefully those things will improve. And if they don't, you just go back to work and continue to try to get better. It's all you can do.
Lee Spencer Chase. Is there a responsibility that comes with most popular driver? I mean, do you feel any added, I don't know, responsibility to the fans to present yourself in a way that they can look up to you and admire?
I mean, to be honest, I feel like I've just always tried to be me, you know, the best way I know how, and to carry myself in a manner that I feel like is right. You know, do I always get that right? No, you know, probably not. But I certainly, you know, try to in most scenarios, but I don't wake up in the morning and be like, oh yeah, you know, you're NASCAR's most popular driver, you need to go act a certain way. I mean, no, I think that's probably a bit of a reach, but, you know, I certainly respect the honor, and I don't take it lightly. And, you know, but look, I understand my spot in line of my family's heritage in racing. And I feel like it's always been an extension of their presence here in NASCAR, and the success they had and the many years that they spent traveling around doing this stuff. And for me, I'm just, you know, fortunate to have the opportunity to do this for a living, and, you know, try to carry that forward as much as I can. So I honestly don't. I mean, I don't change my course of action based on the award or not. I just try to do things the best way I know how, you know, in a given circumstance, and, you know, try to be nice to the folks that support us and make sure that we, you know, support them the best way we can, you know, from my seat too. So, this award's always been about the fans, and, I'm grateful for them.
Thanks for listening to the NASCAR and NBC podcast. A reminder that there will be Clash at the Coliseum practice and heat races on Saturday, and then the main event Sunday. You can find broadcast and schedule information for all of it by visiting nbcsports.com/NASCAR. Also, lots of content there from Dustin Long and John Newby, so check out nbcsports.com/NASCAR for all the NASCAR coverage this weekend and throughout the 2024 season. I'll be back before the Daytona 500 with another NASCAR and NBC podcast episode, remembering a special day and race in NASCAR history. Thanks again for listening to the NASCAR and NBC podcast.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.